The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, welcome in to the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3. The game,
Robbie Stanley, alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Keys are here with you. It's Wednesday morning. We are out live in Titans training camp. And it should be a very interesting day out here. Maybe not as interesting as yesterday, but a very interesting day upcoming. Day number two as for the Tennessee Titans out in camp today. Joe Rex Road, how are we doing? What's going on?
I'm here. I'm ready. I'm head on a swivel here. Apparently this is an area of high danger here at Titans training camp. So, prepared for whatever may come today. I mean, I don't know. I'm vetting all my tweets. See what kind of tweets I may have sent out that may have offended anybody.
Wild day. Titans camp yesterday. So let's just quickly recap everything that went down at Titans camp.
Yesterday, just there was a, obviously, some fights on the field. So you had the first day of pads. We talked about this yesterday on the show. Like the temperature sometimes affects things, and it was a little bit wild on the field yesterday. Jeffrey Simmons involved in both of those. And then after practice yesterday, he goes after Buck Rising of another radio station and of A to Z Sports about some tweets, apparently, or social media antics that Buck had. And started yelling at Buck while he was live on the air, which made the rounds on the internet yesterday. Pretty wild day for day one of pads yesterday, Joe.
Well, the wild thing is that completely overshadows Arden Key suspended for 6 games for, you know, for PED, right? Like,
yes.
I mean, Arden Key is like, thank you, everybody, for, you know, taking me off the top line of the news. Yeah, rough day for the Titans all the way around. And, you know, I've talked to Buck and I've seen the video, and I don't know, man. I think there's a lot to that. I actually saw your tweet about it, and I totally agree. You know, one thing for Jeff Simmons is just, you gotta get the heck away from social media. And he's not the only one at all. Like, as a parent, this is a daily struggle for me. So I get it, but man, you cannot, and this is what appears to have happened. Practice ends, go inside for a minute, search your name on Twitter and come out screaming at a radio host who said something. And honestly, his tweet was not that bad at all. Basically just about his fight and how he said he needs to lock TF in. Okay. And that's, you gotta yell that word, the P word, at him in front of a bunch of kids. That's ridiculous.
Well, and it's the, you know, that's the leader of your team, supposedly. Now, look, I'm not saying that yesterday is like just some total indictment on the entire history of Jeffrey Simmons' tenure here in Nashville. And I'm not saying that yesterday means he can't still be a great player and still be a leader of a football team. But between this and the way that he has handled the last couple of weeks here with the Jamal Adams stuff and the social media and then not having a chance – or not taking the chance to talk about when asked about it a couple weeks ago at the press conference, and then what he did yesterday. I mean, it's pretty concerning how much Jeffrey Simmons is letting social media affect him lately. And if it's affecting you that much, you got to find a way to either stay off of it or do something where it doesn't affect you that much.
There's no doubt. And it's been kind of just a saga here.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. And it's been kind of just a saga here preseason. And again, I don't totally understand. I guess, I mean, some of it had to do with the Jamal Adams signing. Again, it's like we've talked about it. But, like, if you have an issue with, you know, Jamal Adams being signed and you just say that means that you hate the Titans or, you know, I don't know. A lot of it is it's just extra stuff, that extra distractions that you really don't need. So it'll be interesting to see what happens today. I think Jeff Simmons, I saw that Kuharski wrote something about, you know, how he should be disciplined. I heard some of Jared yesterday saying the same thing. I think he definitely needs to talk and clear it up and take questions about this. And again, like Arden Key talks about his thing with Kuharski and buries the hatchet, moves on. Jeff Simmons needs to talk about this. He needs to apologize. He needs to apologize to Buck, but also he needs to step up and
yeah, no doubt about it. And I think too, when you look at just the everything on the field that happened yesterday too, right? Like even the practice stuff of, you know, two plays in a row, basically you're starting a fight out there to the point where Brian Callahan is yelling and is, you know, getting in the middle there. Now look, you know, it's a training camp thing. So we see this happen throughout the league where there's training camp fights. But, you know, for Jeffrey Simmons to be involved in that twice, this is, you know, Jeffrey Simmons gets involved in a scuffle every camp. So it's something that it's not new there. But if you're going to be the leader of the team, I mean, you can't be having 15-yard penalties and doing things in practice that in a game would get you kicked out. So it just was not a very good day for the Titans. You mentioned it as well. I mean, the kind of loss in all this is Arden Key is now suspended for 6 games, you know, pending investigation for PEDs here. So I don't know if he's going to appeal. I don't know what that's going to look like, but you're already really thin at that spot anyway. And yesterday you took a big hit. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We will take more of your thoughts on the Titans, your reaction to day one of training camp with the pads on yesterday. Take your thoughts as well on Jeffrey Simmons and his antics yesterday as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Discussing what went down yesterday at Titans camp. And Joe, what a weird day at camp yesterday. Lots of thoughts on Jeffrey Simmons. Now, of course, when something like this happens, it turns into basically a social media battle. And you had a lot of people concerned about what Jeffrey Simmons did yesterday. You had other people yelling at the media of why are the media so sensitive and why are the media so soft and can't the media take a player yelling back at him? It turns into, you know, that sort of battle yesterday. I saw that all over the place. I understand that the media sometimes can be problematic and ask some tough questions, and sometimes they're unfair. I don't know of anything that Buck has done that was overly unfair in this situation. And regardless, like, there's a way to, if you have a problem with somebody in the media, there's a way to handle it. And what Jeffrey Simmons did yesterday was not the way to handle it. And again, he's supposed to be the leader of the defense and the leader of the football team. And I just thought that was really concerning, the way that he handled that yesterday.
Yeah, look, I think Buck handled it fine. And I think he handled it in the moment just fine. And yeah, it's not just, you could read one tweet or read five tweets or whatever. And this is years of knowing him, and I mean, he's all, you know, he's always been fair. He doesn't get like personal with these guys. I've never seen any of that. So there's always, like, there could always be more to the story. And that is another thing with this, with Jeff Simmons. I mean, there's stuff, you know, maybe we don't know that's going on, but like you said, like, you are now making this a story. You're now putting yourself, this is now on TMZ. This is, you know, wherever it is, it's all over the place. This is one of those things that, of course, goes viral, because I think especially whenever you have, like, you know, athletes screaming at media person, you know, that seems to get a lot of interest from people. So it's just like, it's just a totally unnecessary issue. And again, it's like, even having the lack of awareness where there's kids around hearing you say that, you know, it's just a lot, loss of control. So I'm with you. Look, I think Jeffrey Simmons, we have to separate like offending media or even like stuff that gets on the internet and people go nuts about from what a football team thinks of someone. Because I still think that Jeffrey Simmons is and will be a leader of this team. But this is definitely, you're right, it is concerning. This is something that I think needs to be addressed by the Titans and by him. And he's got a tone for this, and he's got to understand that being a leader also is a public thing.
Got a text that says, I'd find Jeff Simmons if I were Miss Amy. How much, I don't know. But when you're the leader and you represent the team, the brand, the logo, and when Jeff acts like an idiot while wearing Titans attire on and off the field, it's a bad look. There are children there. Titans radio affiliate was there. It can't happen. So, I mean, look, I don't know what's going to happen with the organization. Like, do you expect Carthon or Callahan? Like, Jared was talking yesterday about, like, Brian Callahan needs to speak today if he's not scheduled to speak, and Jeffrey Simmons needs to speak today. I don't know that I necessarily expect that, but – like, I don't know that you could just act like nothing happened in this situation either.
No. Yeah. Today is a non-Callahan. So the way they're doing it now is if Callahan talks on a particular day, then it's a few selected players. They would not be selecting Jeffrey Simmons, I'm sure. But no, today is a day when all the players are supposed to be available coming off the field. So look, I really do. I hope that he decides to make himself available and just clears the air on this. It's just, I mean, I think the story continues each day you don't address it, right? Like you can make it a shorter story and move on to the football and, and deal with it. Or you can just try to avoid it and hope people forget about it. And it just, again, this is not just another guy on the team. This is a star player. This is a leader. This is a guy who now by circumstance has been thrust into a larger leadership role. And I think the smart thing to do would be for him to step up, take the questions on it. He should have taken questions on his Twitter stuff last week and he didn't do it. And he needs to do that now.
Yep, no doubt about it. And I think also when you just look at this team heading into the year, and it is an interesting point. Like, they lost Kevin Byard, Derrick Henry's gone, Danico Autry's gone. Now, Danico Autry also just got popped with a PED thing, just like Arden Key did. But Ryan Tannehill's gone. Like, there's a lot of the old guard that was responsible for the leadership of this team is no longer here. And, you know, one of the questions we've talked about is that next wave, like who's the next wave of leadership that we're going to see from the Titans. And again, like, I'm not saying that yesterday is just a complete and total referendum on Jeffrey Simmons. And that automatically means he's a horrible leader and the Titans don't have any chance to win with him. But like, I don't recall seeing this happen with really anyone else, but certainly with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill and Kevin Byard and leaders of the team who at different times have received criticism, who found a way to either handle it or ignore it, which is probably more of my advice for Jeffrey Simmons would be to stop wasting so much time on social media. Look, I said this yesterday in my tweet. You know, he's obviously overly concerned with what people say on social media. I think a lot of people can relate to that. There's social media. You brought it up. I mean, it's a big thing in today's world. But when you're a professional athlete making millions of dollars, you have to understand that there's probably going to be a lot of good that comes with social media, and you're going to get a lot of praise, and you're also going to get criticism. And maybe sometimes it's warranted, and maybe sometimes it's not. But you've got to find a way to overcome that if you're a professional athlete. And certainly if you're a high-level professional athlete that's a leader on your team, like, you can't allow yourself to react the way that he did yesterday. And we're talking about now with the tweets a couple weeks ago, he was offered the opportunity to address it at the press conference. He said, quote, he was moving on. Like, he's not talking about it anymore. Well, if you're moving on, then move on. And that's obviously he's not. I mean, he came running out of the building yesterday and started yelling at a radio host. So I don't, that's not moving on.
Well, and that's the thing. I can't think of any, there are unfair there is unfair commentary. There's examples of people getting too personal. And I can't think of anything here, you know, that would qualify for that. This isn't even, there's nothing. I mean, again, I'll read the tweet here, which I think has to be the tweet because he got in this fight, you know, and this is, by the way, this is not like some out of body thing for Jeff Simmons to get in a fight in training camp. This happens. He plays on the edge. We know this. And, you know, the training camp shoving and pushing all that, it's common for him. But here's the tweet from Buck. Says, quote, Simmons just swung at Latham after some pushing and shoving. Ref said 98 would have been tossed in a game. He's back in for the next two and immediately starts a brawl. Sloppy. Simmons needs to lock TF in. That's it. I mean, if that's what sets you off, I don't – again, maybe it's something else, I guess. But it seems to be this would be the only thing that would be – and Jeff mentioned social media directly, right? So this would be the only thing that I can see that would – have triggered him. And this is not unfair or personal or anything like that. Sometimes those things happen and you kind of understand it. This situation, it's just not that.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what this is going to mean. We're going to have Paul Kuharsky on from 7 to 8. I'm really interested to get his thoughts on this. We've talked a lot with him about Jeffrey Simmons and his leadership and all that this offseason. And this is kind of the latest installment of that. I'm interested to see what PK has with us coming up from 7 to 8 today on the program. And I'm interested to see how the Titans handle it from here. Now, again, you know, it's not the world's biggest deal, like, but I do think if you're the Titans, you need to get out in front of it. Like you need to address this. And, you know, hopefully Jeffrey Simmons learns from this and doesn't continue to allow social media to affect him the way that it clearly has to this point. So I'm really interested to see how the Titans respond to this today. I will be disappointed if it's just schedule as normal. And I think like Denard Wilson is supposed to talk today and he's got to be the one that's sitting up there answering all these questions when he really had nothing to do with it at all. Like they need to be aware that that should not happen today, whether it's Jeffrey Simmons addressing it or Brian Callahan addressing it. Denard Wilson does not need to be the one that's thrown out to dry for something he really had nothing to do with today.
That's fair. But yeah, he will be the first. I think, you know, he'll definitely get questions about it.
Sure.
It'll be interesting to see what he says. But yeah, I agree. He can't be the only one who talks about it today.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans. Take more of your thoughts on another development yesterday for the Titans that is not good news as it relates to edge rusher. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Joe, some other bad news for the Titans yesterday. Arden Key suspended for 6 games. That is obviously not good at a position that they were already really thin in. Your reaction and what the Titans do from here with Arden Key now suspended.
Yeah, thanks. It's quite something that would be overshadowed, but it's a pretty big item of news for the Titans. Paul Kuharsky breaking that story. And, you know, Brian Callahan didn't want to say too much about it yesterday, but they were already thin. You know, they were already thin. We were talking about, okay, it's Harold Landry, and then you got, you know, Arden Key and Rashad Weaver, and then what else can they find? Should they go sign Carl Lawson? There's a couple other guys out there, I think, Ngakoue. Ngakoue's still out there, right, I think?
I believe so.
Yeah. So now it's desperation. You know, they signed Shane Ray, and he's made some plays, which is pretty impressive for a guy who – has not played football for as long as he has, but I think they absolutely have to sign someone. I mean, at this point, you're starting with Harold Landry and Rashad Weaver. I mean, that's what I would expect to be your starting outside linebacker duo when the season starts. So that's just completely unproven depth after that. So I think I think they were probably going to need to sign someone anyway. Now it's almost desperate.
Yeah. Well, I don't know who's out there. I mean, there's Carl Lawson out there. You've got Ngakoue. Like, I know that we've talked about those guys before, and you wonder how much they have left in the tank. But I think the key situation now almost creates desperate. Like, you got to do it, right? Like, it's a desperate situation to where you got to add somebody and just take a chance that they can come in and play for you. Like, you know, Rashad Weaver, he can play, but is he an every down starting caliber edge rusher? I mean, I've not seen anything from him to this point that would lead me to believe that's the case. Now, look, I'll be quite honest with you. I don't know that Arden Key's that. Like, Arden Key has been a rotational player and a situational guy. And I thought when he got significant playing time as a starter last year, it was up and down. I think probably in best case scenario, it wasn't that great. So it was already a position where we looked past Harold Landry and said, all right, where's the production going to come from? And now the first six games of the season, and by the way, first six games of the season where you're playing some pretty good teams, some pretty good quarterbacks that you need all the help you can get rushing the passer, you're not going to have Arden Key at this point. It's, you know, based on everything else that happened yesterday, it kind of gets swept under the rug, but it's a huge deal for the first part of the season for this team.
Yeah, like the Simmons story is important for sure. And, you know, today how they handle it is important. And obviously the Titans need him to be great. They do need him to be a leader of this team and all that stuff. But really the more impactful news story is Arden Key missing six games. Like you said, I mean, let's see, you've got, you start with the rookie, Caleb Williams, but you got Aaron Rodgers in there. You got Jordan Love in there. Really the whole season is either really good or at least really interesting. You know, like rookie quarterbacks on the schedule. But like you said, you know, it's not a comforting situation before, but at least you had two guys. You had two guys competing kind of, and you had three guys who could play, and now you don't. So I would imagine, I would think that there'd be a pretty quick corresponding move here.
I would think so. And if they're, depending on who it is, like, I think regardless of what happens and what move the Titans make, we're going to walk into that first game when they're playing Chicago and wonder, all right, do they have enough to get after the passer, right? Like, it's still, the equation doesn't change that much, because I think, you know, the pass rush part of it still, it's, I mean, Harold Landry's going to have to stay healthy, and he is going to have to be whatever the top level of Harold Landry is. He's got to be that this year. And then I think the key thing to me adds even more on Sweat, right? Like, Sweat has got to find a way to be healthy and effective from the go from this team up the middle. And, you know, you could make that case anyway based on where he was drafted and the role that he was going to play on the defense. But now with Key out, it's just another part of your defense that has a question mark heading into the season. So I think there's more on Sweat in the aftermath of this too. And, of course, Simmons. Like, Simmons is going to have to be, you know, a game wrecker and be healthy up the middle there. But I do think this adds even more importance to T'Vondre Sweat having a really good camp, staying healthy, and being ready to go for this team by the time Chicago rolls around.
Yeah, no, they have to dominate the interior and make those edge guys better because of it, basically. And that is possible. Texter's saying scheme will help this team generate pressure. Safety corner blitzing, not ideal, but I don't think very much pressure comes from rushing four. Yeah, I mean, look, they're going to blitz. They're going to send different pressures, but you know, in the course of a football game, if you can't rush with four and cover with seven on a fair amount of snaps, you know, you're just vulnerable. So, again, if Sweat and Simmons are causing that much trouble, and then Landry, you know, maybe you don't have to have a great fourth guy, but yeah, you still need to have someone who can get in there and do something. That's the thing. Arden Key is a guy who I think could be a real beneficiary of all that, right? I mean, Arden Key can go make plays. He's got speed. He's got some pass rushing moves. But now, of course, six games, he won't even be out there.
By the way, shout out to Paul Kuharsky for being the one to break that story yesterday. And also, did you see the picture that Kuharsky used when he tweeted out the story? It was the screen cap from his hostage video the other day of – My name is Arden Key. I love Paul Kuharsky. He is the best.
Yeah, well, and so when I saw that picture, I'm like, oh, so in other words, as they went through the course of that, Kuharsky also was like, tell me everything. Tell me everything right now. What is happening, Arden? Are you in any trouble? You tell me right now. I mean, I'm just assuming Arden gave it all up to PK. So,
Keith from Bowling Green asking how much cap space the Titans have. I could go find the specific number. They got plenty of cap space to go add somebody if they want to. But I can find the specific number for you.
Yeah, they're not like terribly pressed or over or anything. I mean, they may have to do a little bit of finagling with a deal or something, but they've got some space still.
According to Over the Cap, they've got $24 million in space. So
there you go.
They should be fine.
Yeah, they don't have to mess around. Yeah. And they look, I think you need to take a gamble on somebody. I think you need to take a gamble on a Lawson is somebody who I think may have some good football left and is probably waiting for more money than people want to give him. But this is where you become the team that gives them that best deal, probably.
Yep. And I think, look, maybe you get lucky with one of those, right? Like most of the time at this point, especially at edge rusher, if those guys are out there and available, it's for one of two reasons. Either one, people don't know how much game they've got left and maybe they're asking for too much money, or number two, like they just don't want to participate in training camp, which I think has probably been the case for a couple of guys around here. I remember Clowney signed a little bit late and it was like, oh, okay. Well, there's like a week left in camp. Here comes Jadeveon Clowney in here. But you know, I don't know what the case is for some of these guys. You know, Lawson, I remember when he was a free agent the first time, and we talked about the Titans and the idea of trying to sign him. And Ngakoue feels like he's played for half the league at this point, and it didn't go overly well with him the last couple of years, and injuries have started to creep up into the fold. Now, he's not as old as you would think. Like, we've talked about that before. It's not like Ngakoue is old. I think he's like 31, maybe. I mean, he may not even be that old. I mean, look at he's 29. He's not even 30 yet. So it feels like he's been around forever. But it does, just based on the numbers, feel like it's started to go the other way on him a little bit.
Well, he's going to be an all-time journeyman when it's over. Why is that, you know, with Yannick Ngakoue, especially he's had some really good stretches of play, but he is the ultimate journeyman. But hey, you know, at this point, I think everybody has to be taken seriously and vetted, and you got to move quickly. There's other, you know, the Lions just lost an edge, you know? So, I mean, there's, you know, more people are going to get hurt. I mean, that's what happens in camp. So, Titans need to move quickly, I would say.
I got a question about Caleb Murphy. Could Caleb Murphy be an adequate role filler for the Titans rushing the passer?
I think he's an interesting pickup last year. You saw some flashes with him like in the preseason last year. I just, at this point, it's hard for me to project him as a guy who's going to make a difference on Sundays.
I would agree. Now, he was a great story in the preseason last year. I mean, he's clearly got a knack for getting after the quarterback. Now, there's more than just, you know, pinning your ears back and rushing the quarterback when it relates to that position. Like, you got to be able to defend the run. You got to be able to set the edge, all those things. I have no idea how good he is at that at the NFL level. He had a nice preseason last year, and clearly the previous coaching staff and Rand Carthon saw enough from him in the preseason last year where they wanted to keep him around. So we'll see if once the preseason games comes around this year, if he could start to make an impression that way. But to me, like, this move forces you to go sign somebody. And then if somebody like a Caleb Murphy or somebody else on your roster forces himself into the conversation that way, well, then great. But I mean, you've got to go sign one, maybe two guys, I think, at least, with the key news.
Right. Someone asking Shane Ray be an effective starter. I just think that's a stretch too. I think, yeah, he certainly could be in the rotation, but at this point, yeah, that'd be a great pleasant surprise if you go a couple weeks more and you really feel like one of these guys is emerging. But at this point, I don't see how you can count on that. And I don't think they will.
Yep. And it's going to be also interesting to see too, like Landry, when they had that front four of Landry, Simmons, Autry, and then whenever Bud Dupree was out there and healthy, we saw it in the Cincinnati playoff game. That was clearly the strength of the team. And, you know, they ended up with 9 sacks in that game. And, you know, they didn't spend a whole lot of time together completely healthy because Bud Dupree could never find a way to stay healthy. And, you know, Autry had some injuries here and there. But like Landry, I don't know that he's ever been like a focal point of an offense looking at him and saying like, all right, we can't let Harold Landry off the edge wreck the game. I'm not saying that he's the first priority now, because that's definitely still Jeffrey Simmons up the middle. But like, can Landry make enough of a difference with nobody really all that proven at this point on the other side, to where he's still an effective enough pass rusher and completely healthy, getting somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 and a half, 13 sacks, somewhere like that.
Yeah. But last year he was really good coming off the knee. He had the second best sacks and pressure rate of his career. And it was that situation, right? I mean, it was basically Jeff. And now, you know, if Sweat does make that impact and Jeff ends up having a good year, then I think Landry can still have also a good year. Is that enough? You know, who's the fourth guy? It's just, you know, you got to have more options. And look, I think Weaver's motivated. It looks to me like he's a little bit lighter now. So maybe he can, I mean, he has flashy, has made some plays. Someone else is going to get hurt too, right? So then who do you feel comfortable throwing in there? Maybe Shane Ray. Maybe Shane Ray is a guy who can get some snaps this year.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have more on the Titans coming up next. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com will be with us in the 7 o'clock hour as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. On this Wednesday morning, we are live out at the Titans facility for Titans training camp. Paul Kuharski will be with us in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Arden Key suspended for 6 games, and Jeffrey Simmons causing some issues yesterday at Titans practice. Taking your thoughts on all that. We'll get PK's thoughts on all that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Overall, though, Joe, it didn't seem like a great day for the offense yesterday. You have brawls going on the first day of pads. Brian Callahan, which we have not brought up yet, talked about how apparently the negative things around here get amplified a lot. That was the first kind of like shot we've heard from Brian Callahan as it relates to, I guess, some of the coverage around here. What do you think of what Brian Callahan had to say yesterday at Titans practice?
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's – I don't know. There's a lot of – there's all of a sudden a lot of media, Titans, you know, I guess divisiveness going on. So I don't know. I guess it depends on who you're listening to or reading, you know. But it's like – it's either the national media is soft or now I guess the national media is too, too tough. Is that – I mean, I've got somebody on the text line saying, I guess Jared has rubbed off too much on Nashville media. Bunch of crybabies. Okay. I don't know who's crying. I mean, look, some fans are definitely going to be like, hey, good for you, Jeff. Like, tell that media guy, you know. And you know what? I don't have a problem. If you have a problem with it as a media person, I've had this happen. Kuharski certainly had this happen. Go ahead and say your piece. Absolutely. You think something's unfair. Sometimes it's just a misunderstanding. Sometimes it is unfair. That's fine. Media, far from perfect. But when you do that, when someone's on the air, and again, there's a bunch of kids around, and you use the language he used, I don't know as a fan how you could not be a little bit concerned about the player, and where his head's at and why he's acting like that, you know? I mean, I don't see how that helps your football team at all. So I don't think that this is a bunch of crying. This is a story. It's become this big viral story. You may not care about that, but it's not a good look for the franchise. I promise you, people in this franchise are not thrilled about this right now.
Well, also, like, beyond all that, clearly he's had a problem. And he keeps bringing it up, and he's had the opportunity now to address it twice and won't do it. So that's the other thing, too. Like, you know, I thought Buck handled himself pretty well yesterday and said, well, hey, man, I'm right here. Come talk about it. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is yelling at him to come talk to him, and he says, all right, man, I'm right here. Come talk to me. I don't want to talk to you. And that was a span of 5 seconds in that conversation. It's like, well, do you want to talk about it or do you not? Because if you do, then talk about it. If you don't, then leave it alone. I mean, last week at the press conference, I'm moving on. I don't want to talk about it. I'm not addressing that. Well, if you're going to say that, then move on. Like, that's the part of this that just boggles my mind as it relates to this whole discussion.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the new things happened since then, but, you know, yeah, absolutely. Just, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Just deal with it. Wes and Clarkson were asking if we think that Callahan should have kicked Simmons out of practice for throwing the punch. I think that's a good policy to do that. Vrabel had that policy because you're out of the game. You know, and I know it's like early in a practice, first day of pads. You want Simmons to get the work. You want the offensive line to get the work with Simmons, right? But I think it's a good policy to, if there's a punch thrown, you're out, because that's the consequence in a game.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that he didn't kick him out yesterday. And, you know, I heard a lot of conversation after that of, well, now what do you do? Like, if people keep getting in fights moving forward, you didn't kick Jeff Simmons out, are you going to not kick everybody out once fights start happening? I don't know. You know, if Brian Callahan made a mistake, I get it's the first day of pads and you want to see your guys go through the first day of pads, get through the drills, have the physical contact, all that stuff. So I understand from the head coach's perspective, you don't want to kick somebody out. But, like, when it happens a couple times and there's clearly some heated exchanges going on out there. And, look, this is not new with Jeffrey Simmons. This is like an annual training camp tradition with Jeffrey Simmons where he's getting in fights and all that stuff. And I don't love that, but I don't really care about that. Like, Jeffrey Simmons, for the most part, has not had some gigantic issue when games have come around of just taking personal foul penalties left and right. Now, he's had some. But he's not had some big issue of that being a big problem for the Titans. So I don't really care about that. But it, when you factor in everything that happened yesterday, this is supposed to be the leader of your football team. And just the way that he responds to some of these situations, I think is really concerning from a leadership standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah, the fight stuff, you know, like you said, he does that and he plays on the edge. And here and there we have the situation with Yanda and Baltimore talking about him playing dirty and spitting in his face and all that stuff. But you know, that's, you live with that stuff. Again, he is a ferocious, he's a trash talker. There's a little extra after the whistle a lot, but usually he doesn't go past the line in game. So there you go. A training camp fight with Jeff Simmons is an annual tradition here. And it's not a big deal. Training camp fights happen, especially when it's 95 degrees, you know, and that's all fine. Yeah. To me, it's like, if you're coaching this team, the GM owning a teammate, and you're like, why is he flipping out? Because I guess some people didn't like the Jamal Adams signing. Why is that worth your time and energy? And now why are you just completely losing it on a radio host for a pretty innocuous tweet? I mean, that's like, you're worried about the distraction level with him and just where his head's at, right? If you're the team, and again, it is a bad look. I mean, it's a bad look for him. And it does look like, you know, he's too concerned with, you know, some of the stuff with himself, along with just taking things so personally when they don't need to be taken that way.
Well, Lance on the text line says some of us like Jeff's nastiness. Like,
sure,
there's a difference between nastiness and a total inability to handle any sort of criticism whatsoever. Like, it's, look, I these guys get paid a lot of money. Part of the deal that comes with that is being able to handle some criticism. I'm not saying that people should be immune to just say whatever they want about players out there, and without any fear of consequence or anything like that. But like, if you're a leader of a team, and that's the other thing, Lawson, it's not just like it's some player. Your general manager got up a week ago and talked about how this is the leader of your team. So if this is the leader of your team, there's got to be a certain level of responsibility, number one, for your actions. And number two, you have to be able to roll with the punches a little bit, man. Like, first off, it's not like anything that's been said about him has ever really been that bad. He's a good player. Like, the worst criticism about him that I can remember is the stuff coming out of the draft where he had, you know, the violence, the sure, domestic incident. That was it. Like, other than that, he's been a really good player. He's had some health issues the last couple years. Last year, he had 5.5 sacks. He was battling through some injuries and probably didn't live up to the contract. I mean, it is what it is. I'm not saying he can't live up to the contract moving forward here too, but like, that's the other part of this. Like, none of the criticism that has been levied his way has really been that bad. And when you talk about the Jamal Adams stuff, like, go look at the numbers. Like, Jamal Adams hasn't been a factor on the field since 2020. Hopefully he is here. I hope things work out really well. But it's just really weird that the things are setting him off right now.
Exactly. It just, I just can't find anything that's unfair. And so sometimes that stuff happens, but I can't find it. I haven't seen it. So someone also mentioned, he said, you're a Taylor Lewan guy. He said that. I didn't hear that. Did you hear that?
I didn't, but
okay. Apparently he's mad at Buck because he's friends with Taylor Lewan. I don't know. There's all kinds of stuff in that audio. Someone asked, is JC Latham okay? Is that a concern fine. Right now? As far as I know, yes.
Yeah. I mean, he was involved in one of the scrums yesterday, wasn't he? But like, so was Mason Kinsey. I think he's okay.
Yeah, poor Mason Kinsey.
Mason Kinsey, big disturber out there. Camp veteran, Mason Kinsey.
That's right.
Get involved in brawls out there.
He makes things happen in camp one way or the other.
He does. No doubt about it. Michael on the text line. Player-wise, Jared has pretty much said Jeff isn't a game changer. Thoughts on that? I mean, I think he has been a game changer. Now, the last couple years, the injuries have crept in. I mean, he had the ankle a couple years ago he was dealing with, and I think probably in a normal circumstance, had the team not been fighting for a playoff spot the whole way down, he probably would have shut it down a little bit. But and then last year had more injuries that he dealt with.
I mean, look, we've talked about this. He needs to play better than he's played the last couple years.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the sack total again at his position. It's not the most important thing. It'd be correct. Great if he get 8 to 10 sacks. What did he get? 5.5 last year.
5.5.
It's just, I mean, he needs to command double teams and at times blow those up too and make plays and help make it so others make plays. And he's still a very good player. I think he probably played his best football in the 21 and early in the 22 season before he got hurt. I mean, that was probably the best football of his career. And I don't know how much of a role the injuries have played. Still think he's a really good player. And I'm very intrigued to see what Tavondre Sweat could do for him this year and what they could do together. But, you know, got to get past all these distractions and get to the – I mean, really, you got to lock TF in is what you got to do.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com is with us. We'll get his thoughts on everything that's gone down with Jeffrey Simmons, get his thoughts on his reporting from the Arden Key story yesterday as well. All that coming up next hour. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.